Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
All righty, good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence. I'm Greg Williams into my home here at Houston, Texas, and just great to see you. You can look back behind me here and notice that the clouds are kind of dark. We have a big, looks like a rain cloud getting ready to hit us back here at the medical center, but we're bright and shiny right inside here. So thank goodness we're indoors. And tonight is going to be one of those programs to where I'm already getting texts. I'm already getting people saying, hey, can't wait to see the guest tonight, because these are personal friends and we have a lot of church members going to be watching tonight and listening in, and the people all the way around the world is going to learn something tonight that's going to literally blow your socks off. So you may want to get some duct tape and duct tape those babies on tonight, because you're going to hear just a wonderful story that didn't happen years ago, didn't happen months ago, just happened a few days ago. And I think they're probably still panting inside and outside of what they experienced, but I asked them to be on the program to be able to share why it was still fresh in their mind, because when I heard the story from them personally, it was like, wow, we got to let some people know about this. And I really want you to get involved tonight. There's several different ways you can do it, and we do this every week, but just to remind the folks that are new tonight, I was up in Midland, Texas this week. So we have a lot of Midland, Texas people maybe on tonight for the very first time. So there's three different ways to get involved. You can call right now or during the program, anytime during this next hour, till about 10 till 9 Central Time, at 888-627-6008. And Thomas, with his beautiful radio voice, will answer the phone and patch you right on through to us. And we never screen our calls. You can ask the questions. You have a comment. You may even want to talk about our guest tonight in a positive way and just share with them a word of encouragement or something that they are blessed by with their story that they're sharing this evening. Or you can get on, and I'm looking at it right now, Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. And it looks like we're doing pretty good on there. You can get on there, comment, and then during the half hour, at the half hour mark, we'll take a short commercial break, about a minute and 20 seconds. I'll get on there and see if there's any comments, or you can comment right through my cell phone at 832-396-6525. We'll let that comment, I'll read that comment after the commercial break to be able to make sure, your thoughts get conveyed. And, while you're on there, you may want to go ahead and follow the Shattered by the Darkness page, and then you can have access to the program and let you know when we're getting ready to go live each and every week. You know, when things happen that we don't expect, how do you stay calm and probably, possibly, maybe the most high stressful situation you've ever experienced in your life? That's what we're going to talk about. But I want to just throw out some scriptures here and just give you a couple things just to write down real quick, because stress shows up in a lot of different ways. It may not be in the same way that our guests are going to share about their story, but it can be pressure at work. It could be job changes at work. The company got sold and you got the pink slip. It could be difficult conversations that you have to have. It could be conflicts. in relationships. It could be a major financial upheaval and burden in your life. It could be a health crisis. It could be something that the doctor just told you this past week or this coming week. So what you hear tonight may not be able to be applicable to what you've gone through, but doggone it, keep it up here because it very well could be what you're going to be facing tonight or tomorrow. It could also just be what we're going to be talking about tonight, a family emergency. And here's the truth I really want to convey to you before we bring in the guest tonight, is you can't always control what happens around you. Just can't do it. Wouldn't it be awesome to be able to? I don't think so. But we can't control what happens around us. But we can learn how to respond. And that's why I want you all to hear this story and closely. You can actually learn how to respond when what happens inside of you, when something's going on that you can't control. How you respond within you makes all the difference. Staying calm doesn't indicate that you're weak, that you don't care, that the situation isn't serious. Staying calm basically means you have learned how to remain steady enough to think clearly during one of the most stressful moments in your life. In Proverbs, write this one down because you may need this one day. 14:29 says, "Whoever is slow to anger has a great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper is full of folly." And folly is just silly, silliness, foolishness. And if you automatically respond sometimes and react without having that foundational truth that you're going to hear about tonight, could make a major difference in the outcome. So, in other words, calmness is not just emotional control. Calmness is wisdom under pressure. Wow, that's good. Calmness is wisdom under pressure. So how do you stay calm? How do you make the right decisions when the carpet has been pulled out from underneath you? I have 2 pages I was going to share, but I don't think I'm going to. I'm just going to throw that off to the side here. I'll use that some other week because we have wisdom in action personified tonight. And TJ, if you would, go ahead and bring them right on the screen and go ahead and hit unmute. We have two friends of mine that I, you know, and the world knows I don't have many friends, but Blake and Veronica Bristow is with us this evening. And can you see? You can see me? And okay, go ahead and hit unmute.
Now we're unmuted.
There we go. We have technical difficulties, but we're going to make it. Blake and Veronica, welcome to the program tonight. It's just great to have you. You're looking good and wonderful. Looks like you have little feet. Is that Baron's feet?
Yes.
Okay, that's Baron's feet. There's Baron. He's going to be the star of the show tonight because it was all about him. First of all, Blake and Veronica, just let me know what y'all doing,
Okay.
where you
Sorry,
live.
I'm sorry, guys.
No.
The enemy is attacking us.
It's kind of like we're watching a movie in a turbulent airplane.
We're
That'll be
getting
fine. It'll be all under control here in a minute. Hey, Baron.
hi. See how
Hi.
see how
Okay. So, Blake, Veronica, just introduce if there's a lot of people that's on tonight that knows you and knows you all intimately and have great friendships with you. But just let us know who you are with people that's on the other side of the world that may just want to know just a little bit about you. What you all doing and where you live, and tell us about your life right now.
So we're just your average run of the mill, I guess. I mean, we live here in Pearland, Texas. I'm an elevator mechanic, and Veronica is a hairdresser.
Stay-at-home hairdresser.
Stay-at-home hairdresser,
And a good one at that.
slash full-time mom, and Baron. We haven't yet put him to work, but he's gonna get there.
Yeah, he's the four.
Yeah, we have 4 children.
One grandchild.
Ava's is our oldest and also the mother of our granddaughter. River, and then we have Freddie and Hank and Baron here. So,
Fantastic.
and we are members of Faith Springs Baptist
Children of
and
God.
Children of God, yeah,
There you
and
go.
follower of the
Well,
word.
thank you. I tell you, did you ever set the stage just like your Rod Serling it on Twilight Zone, and you're telling about what we're getting ready to experience? Just set the stage. What day was this? What was y'all doing? What day of the week was it? What was happening around the house? And then all of a sudden, boom, lightning struck, not literally, but emotionally, and something happened. Just tell us what was everybody up to that day at that moment in time when things shifted.
So it was Thursday, and Freddie was about to have his last school concert with the band, and I just went to drop him off. Baron had been teething, so he'd been a little fussy, and it takes me about 12 minutes to get him there and back or so. My mom was watching Baron for me, and when I got back, she said he's real fussy. He cried the whole time. So I said, "All right, let me. You know what? I'm not going to go to the concert. I'm going to stay here with him." And Blake was feeling kind of sick too. So Blake's like, we'll take a nap on the couch or something. But I decided not to go because he was just so fussy because I don't like for him to cry. So I basically gave him a little bit more medicine, and he was on me, and he's usually, the people at church know, he's like always standing up or he has his arms out. And he kind of just cuddled me. And I thought, oh, how sweet. But then I was like, that's really weird because he never does that. And then he kind of moved as if he had been what is it? Like
Startled.
startled, yeah, by the dogs, but they hadn't startled him. So I asked my mom, like, hey, is he okay? Like, did he just wake up? And she says, no, he's staring right at you. So that was weird too. So immediately I just kind of turned him over, and he was just catatonic, looking straight up and not paying attention. So quickly, I just knew something was wrong because he wasn't answering, or Blake was still outside about to come in. And I mean, it all happened so fast. I just knew something was wrong. I said, I
So,
mean, I guess I knew he was having a seizure because that's what my mom said that I said
okay.
that. Mike,
Yeah,
you were
so
getting ready to say something.
I was just gonna say I had just got home from work not too long before this. My dad was here whenever I got home, and we had talked, and I saw him off, and I just sat down to just take a load off for a minute. You know,
Yeah.
sometimes we just gotta take a minute. And I heard Veronica's voice. She was saying Baron's name, but it you as a husband, as a man, as a father, you can tell a difference in the tone of your
Yeah.
wife's voice.
Okay,
And
before you go any further, because each of you have hit an element that I want everybody to capture, because we're going to tell this story very slowly all the way through to the wonderful hand and grace of God. First of all, Veronica, you mentioned you decided not to go to Freddie's concert. So something inside of you responded to, you decided to stay home. And then Blake just mentioned that he heard your voice, but it was different, that he recognized something that was different than normal, that was alarming, or it hit an alarm button inside. Before you tell the whole story to the world, how important were both of those indicators that you responded to what your intuition, your discernment, if you want to get scriptural here, projected to you, and how you was obedient to respond? Before we go to the rest of the story, just on those two elements, how important was that in the outcome?
It was foundational. I mean, if those had been ignored, I don't know, and I don't even want to think about what the outcome may have been. I thank God for Veronica's motherly intuition, because she knows our son, and she knows his mannerisms and his character. And for her to recognize so quickly and act so quickly on a change in something that she knows isn't normal, right? I mean, I thank God for that, because she had considered going to Freddie's concert, and it was going to be me and Baron. And to be honest with you, I don't know if I would have noticed that difference. I don't spend that amount of time with Baron, and so I don't know a slight mannerism change like that if I would have even noticed it, but she did.
So mom, what does mothers need to understand and hear from your voice tonight in something as simple as that, Veronica? How should they respond when they have that gut,
Well, for
that
sure,
alarm goes off?
the going to Freddie's thing, I was a little not even upset, but I was like, oh, I'm gonna miss his last concert. But that's something that our kids have an understanding with us. They know if we wouldn't just not go. So, it was something that I knew Freddie would understand. We already were having our in-laws, they were already going to be going. So I just said, they'll be there for him and he'll understand. And so it turned into a immediately I just hold it with him. Immediately it turned into he'll understand, and I didn't dwell on it. I mean, I at some point in time I probably would have been like, oh, I can't miss it because Baron's crying, like he's crying because he's teething, so it'd be understandable. He's here with his dad and my mom's gonna be here. So I would have explained it away to go to the concert, probably. And something about it just I was like, no, he'll be fine. And that's something that I think over time has worked. Like I said, our kids understand. If it's important, they're not gonna be upset if we have to miss it. And that was one. I mean, there were so many of these little instances, Greg, that like that was one. Two, him laying his head on me. That's something that he doesn't do. River, our granddaughter, does it, and I'm jealous of it because I'm like, oh, she cuddles on us, and Baron will not do it. And I'm so thankful for the last 10 months that he hasn't done it, because if he would have done it, I could have said like, oh, this is one of those once every other, week that he cuddles on me, but he never does that. So I thought in my head, how sweet. And then I was like, that's weird. And but he was like still had his head on my shoulder, so I was like, I'm not gonna s disturb him. But the fact that he the only time he moved was that three little his sh little arm moved just three times. And again, thankfully my mom was here, and I said, is he did he wake up? And she goes, no, he's staring straight at you. He didn't look weird, he just looked like he was looking up at me from my shoulder. And then when I turned, I mean, immediately, pretty maybe 10 seconds later, I turned him and laid him down, and he wasn't looking at me. He was just looking up. And he
And that's
wasn't,
when you said Baron's name.
that's when I said Baron, and he wouldn't even look at me. So at this time, I'm still in the house, but I mean, I can remember thinking, how sweet. And then I was like, how weird, because he doesn't do that. So,
Yeah, and
yeah.
just to clarify
Let me take him to the au
for
pair now.
your listeners or whatever, the difference in Baron's seizure is that Baron didn't. He didn't go into convulsions. Baron went catatonic, so he immediately was, I mean, for lack of a better description, lifeless. He was completely limp. His eyes went up and to the right, and he was unresponsive to anything that we did. So it. From the doctors, it was determined to be a seizure induced by fever, but it was not a seizure in the way that you would think that he was convulsing. He was catatonic. You wouldn't have been able
Totally know.
to determine whether or not he was alive or not, other than the fact that he did continue breathing.
Which again, if Blake would, if he, I mean, the whole idea was Blake was going to stay home because he didn't feel too good, and he was just gonna like they were gonna take a nap. And I fully do believe if he would have just done that, taken a nap, Blake would have been like, oh, good, he's sleeping, he's being a good baby, and he probably wouldn't know, where it would have gone. So definitely, like, don't just brush away your feeling. I mean, like, ever at all. Like, that was a total, I mean, and honestly, Greg, there was nothing different about the day. I didn't be like, there wasn't anything that made me say, like, today's gonna be different. Like, literally, it was the most normal, day ever. There was nothing, literally. Sometimes I feel like in a movie, oh, there was a beautiful butterfly or something. No, there was nothing. It was like regular Houston weather at this time with mosquitoes, like nothing was awesome. And so I think just listening, discerning, that's it, discernment, like listen to it. And
Do
it
you think, Veronica, that moms, and not downplaying us men, but moms have an extra wire, an
absolutely.
extra connection with that womb of that what came from the womb, that there's something special between you and Baron that us men
Absolutely.
would never understand?
Yes, I mean, totally. Like, I can be like, hey, I'm gonna go, if he's sleeping and I go to the shop to talk to Blake, and I'm like, I'm gonna go inside because I'm pretty sure he's about to wake up, and he just does. I mean, like, it's a lot. Like, and I feel like I've been closer to this baby. I don't know if it's like my age slash wisdom or something, but like, it's probably the age thing. Like, I've slowed down a lot, so I'm more like, let's chill out, let's be inside, like other things are less important, so he's maybe more important. I mean, honestly, I was very young when I had my first, and like, so I just think that's a huge difference. And so he is like, we're very in tune. I mean, to the point, like, I can't like stop thinking about how all he did was lay his head down, and I thought, like, how cool. But then I was like, how weird, like, it is a thing that I think moms really, I mean, it just makes sense. We've been with them the longest,
Yeah, and out
and
of the
just,
norm. So I think even when you have a teenager, you have a 12-year-old or even a 20-year-old, and something happens in their character and in what you witness, and they do something that's out of the norm, you don't automatically panic, but you ought to go, okay, wait, I've never seen that before, and evaluate.
Well, and I think that day we saw the importance of having your spirit open in two different directions, because Veronica was connected as a mother to Baron the same way that we're all connected to God. But we have to be open to hear his voice the same way that Veronica was open to recognize an unfamiliar action, and it, we are imagers of God. We are image bearers of the God that created the universe. So our instincts and our thoughts and our intuitions, they're born and derived through the character of the God that we serve. And we have to be open to that same connection to him. The connection that Baron has to Veronica is the same connection that we have to our God and our Savior and our Redeemer. But we can't let this world get in the way of that,
Yeah, that's good. I want to let the radio station know we're not taking a commercial break. I need we're just going to go right on through, because you can't stop this story in the middle of it. So TJ, go ahead and make plans on no commercial. But 888-627-6008, if you want to call in, you can still call in, but you just won't take the break. So when you heard the voice, that was different, because you have a connection with part of you. And I love how, when you really sit down and think about this, this is why it's so spiritually awesome, because we have the connection with mom and baby. And then we have the connection with husband and wife. You are one now. When you heard the voice, something happened inside of you, Blake. And what was that response? We have the response of mom and the baby. What was that inside of you that was automatically activated?
Knee-jerk reaction, right, is it's panic, right? I mean, as a father, I just remember I ran inside and she was saying, "We got to go." And I said, "Is he breathing?" And she said, "Yes, we got to go. We got to go."
Did you ever see him? Did you look at him?
No, she made sure of that.
I
And
made sure you didn't. Yeah, I thought you
intentionally.
did. That's good. Okay, keep going. Like, I'm sorry.
And
That's an important point.
intentionally. And I knew that, whenever a degree of the situation set in, I recognized that Veronica was not letting me see him. And she was distracting me, even all the way up to the emergency room. Whenever I jumped out and ran inside and she said, "Go park the car, go call Greg." That was her. She knew. She was afraid that I would fall apart. I mean, she'll tell you that. She told me that. She thought I would collapse and then she'd be dealing with it on her own.
So you played your role perfectly, and she did too. So both of you had the roles that you're supposed to perform, God-given roles, and you both acted on those roles without interceding. And interfering with either one of the roles.
I feel like we definitely did, like, now hindsight, I'm like, wow, we did that pr like we wow, how did that even happen? Because it was so, there was no time. There was zero time. Automatically, I'm thinking, if he's not breathing, if I told you he was breathing, I don't even really remember. I mean, like, I wasn't 100% sure at that moment, but I told you yes, because I knew if you stopped me or us from going, I knew you didn't know CPR. I knew that there was nothing you were gonna, like, I was like, yes, let's just go. And then once we were in the car, I could hear him breathing. So I was like, he's breathing. So I may have white lied there to whatever you got to do to get it going, you know? And it worked. I mean, initially he heard, and it was like a serious, like when your mom says seriously, like, no, stop. But it was like death serious. Like, when he heard me say Baron, so serious, it sounded different than I'm saying it now. Everyone, I mean, even my mom was like, oh, it's serious. Even Hank was like, oh, it's serious. And
It
from there,
wasn't serious. I'll say serious is a bad word. It was desperation.
well, yeah.
There was the seriousness of her tone was not like that of
Not like mean.
reprimanding a
Yeah,
child. It
no.
was desperation
Yeah,
of
that's better. Yeah. Like, I was seriously
like
dead.
barren or
Yeah. And
so.
then he, it, I mean, initial reaction, panic. And but that went, I mean, that only lasted like less than 10 seconds, maybe. I thought that was going to be the whole experience.
I will tell you that you're going to hear, you guys are going to hear a timeline that scatters generations on our recollection of this,
Yeah.
because they're like our
What perception of time?
yeah our
I mean, in our head, it
it,
was
the
this
time
much
was
time and that
so
much time.
yeah
That's a whole nother
it's like
thing.
time to stood
It
still,
was like, yeah. But like, literally, once he got in to the mode of, like, literally, it was like, and it's crazy because I have my keys in my pocket. Guys, I never know where my keys are at. Okay. So I literally just like grabbed him and handed, I said, go start the car. And he did. He just goes and starts it. And literally, Dukes of Hazzard, like, let your husbands drive. Like, from now on, just don't watch while they're driving, because they're practicing for something. And literally, it was this moment. I'll never again make a comment while he's driving, because I would not have, may or may not have ran through, illegal, like
Well, let's
license.
talk about that. Okay, so Blake starts the car. Veronica, you get in the front seat or the back seat with
No,
the
we're like there was no car seat time. I mean,
baby? Okay, so
literally,
you're in the back
I
seat?
said I'm in the back seat with the baby, and I kept
Okay.
trying to put my seatbelt on because I was like, stop enough for me to put my seatbelt on. I remember telling him that. And I still yelled a little, like, don't do that. But he still did it. He still
Yeah.
drove, like, pedal to the metal. Like, I heard my car say, like, oh, you know? And literally, I mean, and I was just telling him earlier, you know, there's so many intersections or lights. And he stopped at the first light. And I thank God that he did because I was like, okay, he's got his, like, he's in control of what he's doing. Like, he's not just being a maniac driving. He was driving
Right.
crazy, but for the standards of speed limit and stuff like that. But he stopped, and I was like, okay. And we were like, I was like, that was the longest stop ever, like, light ever. And then he, like, went over the Bailey Bridge so fast. And then, like that alone was crazy. Just like the whole ride there was crazy. And I know it takes 9 minutes to get to the store that's right across the street from the place. And I'm sure we got there in five. Like, pretty sure. Once we've, you know, puzzled d done the puzzle and like text messages and phone calls, it was like 5 minutes. But the whole time, it was crazy because it was Thursday at 5:30 and there was a lot of traffic because the
Yeah.
last right lane is blocked off. And it's like where the cement is like, you know, like a foot lower. And again, a thing that I wouldn't have done, my mother wouldn't have done, my mother-in-law, no woman probably would have been like, oh, I fit in that space, because you don't. And he did. He just went through the cone and he fit in the space. Like, we didn't fall. I mean, because he can judge the depth. Like, you know, I was like, what? I would have never. When he did it, I was like, what are you doing? We're gonna like get stuck. And we didn't get stuck. And there was like all this traffic that we passed up. And like, I was like, unlock my window. And I'm like, we looked crazy. Like, we're like yelling, honking our
So it's
hazard
rush hour
bell.
traffic. You're in the middle of a construction zone,
Yeah.
and you have 9 minutes to get a trip to get to the emergency room or the emergency care. And it took you 4 or 5.
I'm pretty sure it was, yeah. And like,
And Blake,
literally, people saw.
you were just going through cones, going through whatever
No, like,
depth
he never
lights.
hit anything. That's the thing. He never hit anything.
But he
He
just went right on
literally
into the
drove
construction
like a
area.
race car driver, like, didn't hit anything. We looked like the car has no damage on it. And literally, like the intersection there is so busy. Literally, they like people stopped. They like saw us. They saw the look on my face and they were like, okay, there's an emergency. Like, all these people stopped. It was crazy. And we
Wow.
went through an intersection and didn't like, and then like we passed a cop. It was funny. But we went into the emergency room and I guess he knew there was an emergency because he didn't say like, hey, you were doing bad driving. He just let us, you know, go into the emergency room.
And Blake, what's going through your mind while you're doing this Starsky and Hutch and Dukes of Hazzard driving? That shows you my age, by the way.
Well, yeah, no. So that's not something that ever. It's one of those things where I finally said, "Babe, I need you to let me drive." In my younger days, I built race cars, I drove race cars, I think back to all the, all the things maybe I shouldn't have been doing, and how God used those to prepare me for that moment. But my only concern at that moment was to get Baron into,
Medical care.
yeah, into the hands of professionals
Knew it.
that had the best physical possibility of saving his life, right?
So you walk in, is the room like every emergency room just filled, jam-packed with
No,
people?
and that
Tell me
was,
about it.
nobody
It
was
was
there.
empty. It
Yeah.
was empty.
We walked in
We
and
ran
it
it. We
was
did not walk.
empty. And
That was amazing too. because yeah, nobody was there at all. Like they all
after they got Baron back,
stable.
and I came out to call you. I called you, I called Susan, I called other people. Every time I came out, there was a group in the waiting room, so to speak.
Wow.
But when we went in, there was nothing. There was nobody.
Wow.
So they're waiting on you.
Yeah. Yeah. They were amazing. They just like
And they,
took
they
courage.
got him back, and they went to work immediately.
Yep.
And the first step was
Give
to
him
put him, yeah, they gave him the
Ativan.
Ativan, which kind of sedated him, and it changed his state. For us, not necessarily, maybe for the better, because after they gave him the Ativan and he was unconscious, then he started shaking.
Moving his
And
body.
it was likely because they had packed him with ice and they were trying to bring the fever down, but it went from one bad situation to another. And I don't really know what that time frame was, or
And what's going on in both of your minds at this point in time? Has it soaked in yet? What's
at the
happening?
when I went back in, I had maintained a calm that I can't really explain. I can. But I hit my knees, and at the side of the bed, I hit my knees, and I was holding Baron, and I surrendered. And
Tell me about that, Blake.
when we read through the Old Testament, we read all these fantastical and mystical stories about kings and armies and all that kind of stuff. And we know as Christians that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? But as a soldier in a king's army, you go where he leads you without question, with a trust and an acceptance that I may sacrifice my life today for my king, but I'm going to trust him and his decisions. That's a surrender that people today don't understand or recognize. And that was the surrender that happened. And I said, I trust you. I surrender to you. I give this child to you. And my prayer is that your will be done, because our prayer is that his kingdom comes, right?
And you're saying this prayer out loud?
I am saying this prayer through the groanings of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, that's good.
I remember I was telling Veronica, I told you today after the service, John 15:7 was the verse I was standing on. I didn't know the address of the verse when I was standing on it, but I knew that it was the Word of God. I knew 100% that Jesus had told us that, and John 15:7, I don't have it pulled up. I'm trying to pull it up, but whatever you ask will be given to you is what Jesus said for those that believe in him. And can you hold the phone?
Yeah.
But you know, my prayer has always been that the Lord writes His word on my heart, and I don't need to know the address. I don't. I just want to know the word, and the message, I guess, that I have is that our God is a God of promise and a God of faithfulness. And He's not afraid of us calling His feet to the fire, so to speak. Right? He's made promises to us, and we need to stand on those promises because God stands on them and He's faithful to them. And if you just turn to Him, His promises are not without. He doesn't say, "Hey, I'm going to give you $1 million next week." He says that I'll bless you if you turn to me and ask me to bless you. And that's what God laid on my heart, was His faithfulness. We saw that faithfulness in the birth of Aaron. I stood on that faithfulness, and I stood on His promise. And then He brought us back to it.
Is peace coming to you now at that point? Even though you just did the construction, you just flew there at half the time it should be, and you run into the emergency room and they're treating him and bagging him in ice and all this. You're praying. Is there a wave of peace? What happens?
You said this show's only an hour, right?
Oh yeah, we're doing all right. We got 15 minutes.
I saw this peace in him. So what I saw was what I thought I was expecting to see was the reason why I didn't let him see him whenever we were still at the house, because I thought he was going to collapse, and he didn't. And then that's what this experience has like blown me away of how much faith Blake had. Like he did. He got down and he started praying, and I was like, and I was trying to distract him, go park the car and go do this, and then he just came back in, and I was like, I'm supposed to be the calm one, and he was way more calm than I mean, like, he that fear that we had, that he, you know, the initial hearing my voice say Baron's name, that fear was gone. And I love the verse, you know, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. And he just like it almost it was crazy, because like when I saw how in control of his of just how he was feeling, I almost started, like, I was like crying, and I was like, what's going on? Like, I'm the one in control. But seeing him do that and pray, and he was like, it's gonna be okay, we're gonna be fine. And then before I even knew it, because he didn't have his phone, I gave him my phone to call you. I mean, I was getting messages. Of course the timeline was off, because in my head I remember thinking, someone just texted me, it's been 5 minutes, but it had been an hour. But like literally, I'm getting messages from, you know, people from our church saying, hey, we're praying for Baron. I was like, whoa. Like, that was a whole nother thing that we were like, you were the first person we called, because we knew we had people who would be praying. And then my in-laws, they had people that were praying. My mother had people who were praying. Like, we already had all these. I mean, that was another thing that carried us too, was just like, of course we were worried, but not in a sense. Like, we were in the best place we could be. Baron was literally getting taken care of in the best way he could be. We did that small job of getting him there, and we left it to them. Like, we were just like, whatever comes, like, well, we'll find out. Like, I mean, yeah, this peace that surpasses all understanding. Like, you know, I think people would be like, why are you not freaking out more? Well, because there's nothing we can do about it. Like, we're where we're supposed to be. And that's something that, again, that throughout the whole experience, that and I would say not just that, from now on, there is this whole other trust in my husband's faith that I know he has, like, which I think is huge for a household. like huge. So it's like that was awesome. The piece was, I mean, that's always the best part. When we've had some emergencies before, and I'll tell you, that's always been the best part, is whenever you're like, okay, I can, and it's not like, cool, I'm gonna go have a Slurpee. No, you're just like you're not freaking out thinking, oh my gosh, my life's gonna be totally different because somebody's gonna die. Like, it's just, and I, this is gonna sound like brash, if that was God's will, I felt this piece of whatever God's will is. I don't know. Like,
And I'll tell you, Greg, I don't know if you know this about me, but in our marriage and in being a husband, there are a lot of things that I struggle with. But being patient and peaceful, I don't struggle with that. I suck at it. And so that's not a characteristic that my wife is familiar with, nor am I in knowing myself. So that was some, I mean, I recognized it in myself. I don't even know how to explain that, but.
Well, after they treated him, and then I guess they transferred him, correct? After they got him stabilized and sent him
Yeah,
down here
like
with the
6 hours
children.
later, I think. I
6 hours
mean,
later, he's right across the street here, and which is the best place in the world to be. I'll be a little biased here. Hey, Hank. I just got a photo bombed by Hank. Hey, buddy. In that, then everything was fine back home. The baby's doing great. But because of this experience, and whoever wants to go first, go first. How have you changed? What have you learned? And what kind of quantity of trust do you lean into Jesus with now because of what you experienced this past week?
You can go.
You go ahead.
Okay. What if I feel like it's just happened the other day. It's already going to be a week, or isn't it? It's been a week. I don't even know what date it is.
Yeah, it's been a few.
It's crazy how fast we go back to our lives. Like, thank God that we were able to, because there are situations where people are still in the hospital because of something, and we're not. Like, thank God, hallelujah. And then so quickly we just go back to like quit interrupting me, Hank, to open the ice cream. But thank God that we're able to be home and not at the hospital. And I mean, learned is just to totally trust
It wasn't
in,
for the Lord.
if it wasn't for the Lord, right? God. God. Just total, I mean, like, we've had situations before, and every single time he just brings us through it every single time. So it doesn't mean you're not going to go through anything. I mean, that is life. You're going to go through something at some point, no matter what. Probably like every year or every 6 months or whatever it is, but it's totally fine.
You guys have had more than your average share, though, in the
We
last year,
have.
couple years. Just
It's been
letting you know.
crazy. And like stuff, like every time it's like, and it's awesome though, because you get through it on the other side. But we can't do it on our own whatsoever. I mean, God brought us through that so much. Like, it was all him.
And I truly think that, we know from Romans that God uses all things for the good. And we know from everything in the Bible that God is always, he's always delivering a message. And for us, I think that the things that we've been through are for a reason. And like I said, it's what the Lord lays on our heart And it's his faithfulness, right? The word tells us that he is with us all the time, right? I have that note. Deuteronomy 31:6, he will never leave or forsake you. Matthew 28:20, I am with you always to the end of the age. God is always with us, and throughout the Bible, it's always about us turning back to him, for him to bless us in the ways that he wants to bless us, because that's what he wants. God is love, and God doesn't create chaos. He may allow it, but he allows it within his perfect will and plan. And we just need to turn back to him, be founded in his word. You know, earlier today I was thinking about it, about the word, right? As a man, when we give somebody our word, what does that mean? It means that come hell or high water, I'm going to keep my word, right? That's our integrity. And the thing that God's given us, the focus is his word, right? And the beginning was the word. The word was God, and the word was with God. And he's given us his word. And it's so important that we remember that and build a foundation on that word, because everything in the Bible that we have builds us up to a mansion in God's will and ultimate plan for our lives and for our forever lives. So I'm sorry, we just got to, I guess we're
No,
getting ready
you're
to end
fine.
up.
In the last few minutes now, if there's somebody listening, and you know, we have a lot of doctors, a lot of counselors, a lot of school teachers, a lot of professionals and nurses and that listen to the program. And you know, it seems like sometimes the more educated we are, the less God reliant we are. But they've just heard a story that is absolutely true. What would you say to the people that's listening, and now that you'll go out into the world Tuesday and then archives forever, that are people are listening about God? What would you tell them if you had a one-on-one conversation with them right now, about what they need to do?
We were fortunate in our situation, but it wasn't about our fortune. It was about God bringing us back to him. I think the message that we take away from this is God is there. He's there for you all the time. Every waking minute and second of every day, God is there. He tells us that. If we can't take God at his word, then nothing we're doing is worth anything. And he tells us that he is there all the time, and that he has forgiven you. He just wants you to turn back to him. Right, he knew us before he formed us in the womb. He knew us, and he had a plan for our life, and that plan, I'll tell you that our God, for however you interpret the word, our God is a selfish God. That plan that he had was for his fulfillment, because he wants a relationship with each and every one of us. And that plan was to bring you closer to him so that you could walk in relationship with him forever. And all he asks is that you turn to him, and that would be what I say is what happens here on this earth is irrelevant. it's temporary and irrelevant, and I want to walk with my Savior.
There you go. Ronnie, you
And
got the last word. 30
let
seconds.
your husbands drive. That's what it is. Let your husbands drive because, he got us there. Okay.
Yeah.
That's and just listen to
That's
your
just a
gut.
country song.
Listen to your
Jesus,
gut,
take the wheel.
you know? Definitely listen, like that discernment, even how small it might be, is meaningful, 100% meaningful,
Yes.
you know? Yeah.
Yes. Thank you so much, guys, for being on the program and for having the faith and teaching me things that, yeah, I heard about and experienced, but sometimes having a fresh set of eyes on it and to hear how you all reacted and then just see God's hand literally in every one of the seconds of that scary situation is so evident. And I just love you having the openness to share that with everybody around the world tonight. So thank you so much.
Thanks for
No, thank
asking.
you for
Yeah.
having us.
Thank
And I'd love to have you share that Sunday morning or the next time you can at church, because I know people want to hear the story live if they couldn't
you.
come on tonight. Love to have you share it.
Awesome. For sure, Greg.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I
Yeah,
love you
thank you
guys
guys. God
dearly,
bless. Love you too.
dearly. Like we do each and every week, I tell you what, we talked to a lot of people that's written books and travel all around the world and makes millions of dollars on. This is one of my favorite interviews ever in all the years I've done this, because I know their hearts
Nice.
and the story is true and the story is real. And it just screams as we close out the program. Give God a chance. Lean into him no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're going to face tomorrow. There's only hope. There's always hope. But the only hope that we have in this world is in Jesus Christ. That's it. And his word. So lean in to him. Thank you, Blake and Veronica, Aaron, Hank, Freddie, Dave, all and the whole Hee-Haw gang. Thank you for being with us tonight. Join us right here next week for another live edition of Breaking the Silence. God bless you all. Have an awesome, awesome week. Give Jesus a chance. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1. For the next episode of Breaking the Silence.